James Arthur, on the eve of the release of your latest album, which we'll discuss in a minute, thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, mate. Thank you for having me on.
I'm really excited about this. We have been absolutely loving your latest single, which we'll chat about in a mo. But first, you've been to Kent a few times to play charity football matches. Do you have any memories of any of your time down here, down south in Kent at all?
Yeah, no, I do. I remember those games because I was blowing out my backside for 90 minutes, and it was tough. Did I score that day? Do you know?
Right. So this was what I was going to say. I was there, 2021. You was down. You was playing a charity football match, and I'm pretty sure you scored a back heel penalty in that game. I went to have a look online the other day to find the evidence, and I couldn't find it anywhere.
Don't you worry. I'll forward it to you.
Well, do you know where you played that day?
I know it was one of those 4G pitches. It was at.
Well, let me fill the blanks for you. Right, it was at the Gadigam Stadium, which is home to Maidstone United.
Maidstone. Yeah, I've been down there a couple of times, yeah.
The cool thing about this is on Saturday, Maidstone are heading to Ipswich to play Ed Sheeran's beloved club in the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Oh, is that right?
So I thought the best way to start this today would be if you could please, James, just take a moment to just record us a little message for, one, our guys at Maidstone. But also, I think we should aim this a little bit at Ed to just let him know that his team are in for a tough ride.
This is a message from Maidstone United. I'm backing you on Saturday against Ipswich, mainly because we want to stick it to Ed Sheeran. He's had too much success in his career, and I want to bring him down a peg or two. So, come on, I've played it at your stadium a couple of times. I scored a back heel penalty there. So, you know, if you need me, I'm about. Good luck. Borough have already beaten this season, so you can do it as well.
I love that. KM FM. Let's jump straight into it, shall we? Bittersweet Love, your fifth album, is out tomorrow. Is the feeling any different sat here today compared to your first, second, third, and so on?
It's very different. It's very different because I think I've got to a place where I really know who I am and what I want as an artist. And the vision was very clear for this body of work. And so it feels like the first of a series of projects by me that that sound like I 100% trust myself. I think, you know, I've been evolving, you know, I've been progressing and growing as an artist. And there's a lot of rubbish stuff I've put out there and have felt like, you know, I've not been super proud of, whereas I feel really proud of this body of work, and so I'm excited to share it with everyone.
Are you the type of person that finds it difficult to take pride in your own work, or have you got to a point now where you can actually start to appreciate things, dissect it, and channel that energy?
I have this thing where when the music is just belongs to me and I'm listening to it when no one else has heard it, like I feel very differently about it to then when I know the world's going to hear it, I see all the flaws in it and I start to sort of overanalyze it and criticize it, which is probably quite normal for anyone that makes art and wants to share it with the world. But it's funny, I don't feel that way about this body of work for the first time. I feel very much like this, I back myself on it a lot more than ever before.
I then also find myself that when I go back and listen to bits from me even doing something like this, I then compare myself to others who are out there. People that I love, don't get me wrong. So I was just wondering, is there anyone out there now that you're loving, that you're listening to, that you're sort of getting inspiration from?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's some great artists out there right now, for sure. With this music that I just made, I kind of was looking back rather than at anything that's going on at present. I was sort of inspired by stuff that I listened to growing up, you know, like Springsteen and like there's even kind of some Stereophonics, Ryan Adams. There's a real Americana sort of feel to this stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of great artists out there right now. I mean, it's a good time for artists from the Northeast. Sam Fender, I think, is one of the best out there at the moment. I think he's incredible. I'm really into Phoebe Bridgers. I've been listening to her quite a lot. Yeah, there's so many. It's funny, I can't think of many right now, but yeah.
I tell you what, a Sam Fender, James Arthur collaboration would be one heck of a tune, wouldn't it?
I think it'd be pretty sick, yeah. Why not?
Let's champion that. Let's make that happen. I mean, we've had to wait almost 3 years for this one. How would you compare Bittersweet Love then to It All Makes Sense in the End?
They're polar opposites. It'll all make sense in the end. Was kind of an experimental lockdown project. It was the drums and everything on that are electronic. It was a very trap heavy record. It's like trap pop rock or something. Whereas this album is like I was able to make it in the same way that in the way that I would really want to make it in terms of like having access to my band and stuff like that. And so yeah, it's like it's much more organic than the last album. It's if you like me or for those kind of heart-wrenching raw acoustic-y things, then half of the record is like that, and then the other half is like more energetic up-tempo stuff and more kind of rock and roll punk leaning. So yeah, it's a bit of everything for everyone, I think.
It's interesting that you say there about spending more time with the band, because I was saying this to producer Liam before we had this chat. Bittersweet Love sounds like one of those songs that was made sort of for live. That song is going to be so good live when you hit the road. And I want to talk about you hitting the road later. But have you done that with the album? I think I read online that is it true there's 16 songs on the album? You've got quite a big track list.
No, there's 13, but I
13.
think there's like various different incarnations of it
Right.
where they'll like I think the digital version we've added a couple of like acoustic versions and things like that and a cover and stuff like that. Yeah, so there's various different versions of it. There'll be a deluxe later on, but yeah, it's 13 is like the standard album there.
So it's around about that size. Do you do that? Do you microanalyze that? Do you have a look at the story of an album, but then also think about, well, what can I do that will definitely sound live? Because you definitely come across to me as someone who loves touring. You love playing your music live to people. You love that reaction. So do you ever plan for that when you go into the writing room or in the studio to think about, well, how do we just make the biggest sounding tune live?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a big part of this album because I came off tour and started writing it like straight after a tour. So the sort of feeling of being on the road and seeing what works and what doesn't in different types of venues was very fresh in my mind. And Bittersweet Love was one of the first songs that I wrote after that tour. And then things like Comeback Kid and My Favorite Pill, stuff that felt like they were made for arenas and stadiums and stuff, which is what we're about to do this year. So yeah, that's in answer to your question. Yeah, it was a very conscious thing, and I'm all about. I don't really when I'm writing. I never really go in the studio to write like individual pieces of music. Like I'm always going in there to embark on making a project, an album. It's all about the album for me, even though it's becoming less and less important to most people. It will always be how I kind of work, I think. And so yeah, very 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 intentional stuff.
We just spoke about self-critique. Can you give yourself a couple of songs that you pat yourself on the back about on this new album? Which are your favorites? You got a few?
Yeah, I would say for me, my favorites would be like New Generation and Comeback Kid. They're just like they've just got influences and like my kind of taste in them. They're songs that the style of music that I love to play live. And so those would be my favorite. And in terms of the ballads and stuff, I'd probably say there's a song called From the Jump, which I think is probably the best song in terms of how it's crafted on the album.
KM FM. This is the Hit List.
KM FM.
We've spoken about you coming down to Kent. We've spoken about your new album, which we're all hyped for. But there's something that you're basically going to be doing from, I think it's this weekend, I'm right in saying, through to Christmas. You're on the road for basically the whole of this year. Now, you say that you love playing shows, but that's a lot of work, James. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a pretty spicy schedule this year, to be fair. But yeah, I love it. I love it. There's nothing better than going out there and connecting with all of the fans. And yeah, I'm really excited. Like I really feel like I'm going to get through the whole thing as well without any cancellations or anything like that, because I feel stronger than ever vocally and physically, mentally. I'm in a really good place as far as being prepared for a heavy touring schedule. And I've got a lot of experience under my belt now, so I kind of know how to last, I think.
I was listening to an artist in an interview the other day. I actually can't remember who it is, but they said, I was stood there or sat there thinking, God, you must be so excited to go on tour. You must just be excited to get on the stage and see the plans happen. But then they started talking about the anxiety behind cancelled shows and before they go on the road. Is that the thing for you? Until you're stood there on the stage, it's sort of not real in some ways. And then that's when the energy comes out of you, when you're there and then in front of your adoring fans.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, it's a really weird one, actually, because, you know, it isn't until there's so many emotions that you go through and nerves and anxiety and all that kind of stuff until you're actually there and you've got that adrenaline dump happening and you connect in with all those people. It doesn't feel real. And of course, like you said, cancellations are always a possibility. You know, we're only human beings at the end of the day. You don't know if your voice is going to go. You can lose your voice very easily. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it can be a miserable place being on tour, trying to keep yourself healthy in many ways.
And what about the shows? So what can fans expect? Is it a mixture of the new stuff and some of obviously your classics, a few covers in there as well? What can fans be looking forward to if they're seeing you on the road?
Yeah, I think we've got a pretty perfect balance of stuff in the set now. I'll obviously be playing bits from all five albums, all the key songs that I think that people will be wanting to come and hear. Some of the sort of fan favorite moments that have happened over the years, some of the viral moments with like 1,000 Years, I covered that and it's gone on to do mad things on Spotify and stuff. So yeah, I think we've covered all bases and more really. It's going to be a great show.
And I can't leave this interview, and I don't do this to every artist, but I have to say, James Arthur, your fans are the best. Like, yeah, genuinely, I don't want to say that for you, but every time a new James Arthur song is out, we have thousands of messages from your fans asking us to play your songs. I've never, ever experienced a fan base like your army. And I know loads of them will be listening right now and as excited as all of us about your album coming out in a matter of hours. Have you got a message for those fans before the album drops?
I do, yeah. I mean, it's kind of much of the same thing that I always say, which is, you know, I really wouldn't be here without them, because my fans are, like you said, they're really fanatical and they campaign for me in a big way every time I've got music out, and they sort of like, you know, I think they feel like I should get more support than I do sometimes, and they really show up for me and make me feel that love. And so, yeah, I'm just this album's for them. You know, it's not for anyone else. It's I'm really excited for them to have it because they've waited long enough.
Well, look, James, you're a top guy. Thank you so much. I know you've been through a lot in this mad world of the music industry, and no one deserves success as much as you, mate. Honestly, sounding great on the new album. I can't wait to hear it in full. We will keep on playing Bittersweet Love because it is a massive song. So thank you for gracing us with that. And best of luck with the album.
Thank you for your support. Thanks for the opportunity to promote my music, man. Thank you very much.